You're listening to Tea with Tolkien, a podcast for the Hobbit at heart. Tea with Tolkien is a community inspired by the works and Catholic faith of J.R.R. Tolkien, and I am so glad that you found us. Whether you've been here from the very beginning, or this is your first time joining us for tea, I hope you'll make yourself at home. If you'd like to get connected within the different places our community hangs out online, visit teawithtolkien.com/join to find all the links. I've also just created a server on Discord, and this is where we will be hosting our book club in the fall, so you can find the link on that page as well. I personally really don't like being on Facebook, and I've also found that the Goodreads forum that we had been using for our book club is very clunky, and so we're going to try out Discord. It was recommended to me by many people, and if you are a Patreon of Tea with Tolkien, there's like a special channel just for you guys. So it should be really fun. In today's episode, I wanted to chat about a poem that is probably one of Tolkien's most well-known, or at least most misquoted. We refer to it as the Riddle of Strider, but you might know it simply as All That Is Gold Does Not Glitter. So first of all, if you're unfamiliar with the poem, I just wanted to start out by reading it. All that is gold does not glitter, not all those who wander are lost. The old that is strong does not wither. Deep roots are not reached by the frost. From the ashes a fire shall be woken, a light from the shadows shall spring. Renewed shall be blade that was broken, the crownless again shall be king. So, like I mentioned before, this poem contains what is probably Tolkien's most misquoted phrase, not all those who wander are lost. You've probably seen not all who wander are lost all over coffee mugs and, like, I don't know, inspirational images all over, and it drives me crazy. And so I just wanted to make a point of that. If it's just wrong. I'm not sure if this is an attempt to wiggle around the copyright or if it's just simply out of ignorance on the part of people who are making this kind of stuff, but it just drives me a little bit crazy, especially when you know that the line comes from a poem, and taking out the those really messes with the whole meter of the poem. And okay. Anyways, so when I was in high school and I had first started reading The Lord of the Rings, I was totally obsessed, as you guys probably figured, and I really loved this poem. And in art class, we had this calligraphy assignment in which we were supposed to write out a particular quote. And so, of course, I chose this poem and I lettered it beautifully. And I actually have it in my house still. It's not that great, actually, but pretty good for a high schooler. I also mentioned it to my creative writing teacher, and she was actually the first one to mention the way that this poem not only points us to Aragorn, but also to Christ. And so, Miss Diarkos, if you're listening, thank you, and hello. I hope you're doing well. I wanted to begin with a little bit of background information on the poem itself, in case you aren't super familiar with it. We first read this poem in chapter 10 of book 1 as Frodo is reading it within the postscript of a letter from Gandalf. This letter was supposed to have been delivered to Frodo much earlier, but it was delayed due to the bumbling Mr. Butterbur. And the postscript, which I love, reads, "Make sure that this is the real Strider. There are many strange men on the roads. His true name is Aragorn." And then immediately after that is the poem, apparently meant to be helpful for Frodo in determining who the real Strider is. And this sure would have been a lot more helpful if he would have actually received the poem and the letter on time. After Frodo is finished reading this letter, he's talking to Aragorn, who he doesn't even really know is Aragorn yet. He just knows him as Strider. And then he says, "I am Aragorn, son of Arathorn, and if by life or death I can save you, I will." And then after that, Aragorn quotes a part of the poem saying, "All that is gold does not glitter, not all those who wander are lost." Frodo replies, "Did the verses apply to you then? I could not make out what they were about, but how did you know that they were in Gandalf's letter if you have never seen it?" "I didn't know," he answered, "but I am Aragorn, and those verses go with that name." He drew out his sword, and they saw that the blade was indeed broken a foot below the hilt. So this is just like the first instance that we hear this whole idea of Aragorn and Strider being, you know, pretty important. Up until this point, we were kind of weirded out by Strider. He seemed at least a little bit dangerous. I mean, I guess he still is dangerous. I know that all of the hobbits are still pretty freaked out by him. But anyways, so Frodo ultimately decides to trust Aragorn, and he says something along the lines of, if you were a servant of the enemy, you would feel fairer, but seem fouler. Something like that. Basically, the idea being like, you would look more pleasant, but maybe I would be getting a weirder vibe from you. And instead, Aragorn looks pretty rugged and unpleasant, but he's getting a good vibe from him. So once the gang finally decides to follow Aragorn, they make it to Rivendell eventually after a couple close calls. And now they are at the Council of Elrond, where we hear this poem once again. At this point, Boromir has come to Elrond because of a dream, and he starts kind of describing the dream for the whole council. He says, in that dream, I thought the eastern sky grew dark, and there was a growing thunder, but in the west, a pale light lingered, and out of it, I heard a voice, remote but clear, crying, seek for the sword that was broken. In Imladris it dwells. There shall be counsels taken, stronger than mortal spells. There shall be shown a token that doom is near at hand, for Isildur's bane shall be wakened, and the halfling forth shall stand. So this is kind of just like a prophecy sort of dream that both Faramir and Boromir have. And I had actually never really thought about this before, but like, where do you guys think that this dream comes from? I've heard a couple ideas that it was from one of the Valar. And this isn't really anything I've really pondered too much. And I was just curious to know if any of you had any knowledge or theories. I'm not quite sure if Tolkien really wrote much about the idea of like where this dream came from. And it's something I hadn't thought about before. So I just thought it might be interesting just to ponder, I suppose. After this, Aragorn stands up and he shows Boromir his sword, the sword that was broken. And then Elrond reveals that Aragorn is a descendant of Isildur and is the chief of the Dúnedain. After that, Boromir's just being kind of rude, and Bilbo jumps up and bursts out with a poem again. I also thought it was worth taking a couple minutes to talk about a couple earlier versions of this poem that we can see as Tolkien was drafting it. These are recorded within the History of Middle-earth, which is the gigantic, wonderful 12-volume set that I someday hope to get my hands on. But until now, I have the trusty internet. And within The Treason of Isengard, there's a part where we see the original version of this poem, which I'll read to you. All that is gold does not glitter. All that is long does not last. All that is old does not wither. Not all that is over is past. Then later, this last verse was added. Not all that have fallen are vanquished. A king may yet be without crown. A blade that was broken be brandished, and towers that were strong may fall down. Tolkien obviously edited this a bit, made some changes along the way, and has so wonderfully left us with the final version of the poem, which I like a lot better, but I think it's kind of fun to see his process, and it also gives us a little more insight into what he was thinking when he was writing it. If you want to read more about the story of Aragorn, you can read a lot in Appendix A, which I just wanted to throw it out there. I don't think we'll be going too in-depth in that story because it's kind of long, and you should just read it yourself because I'm a big fan of primary sources. We also were kind of suspecting that Amazon's Middle-earth series might cover a lot of Aragorn's life, but doesn't really look like we'll be getting that after all, which is probably for the best. This poem's primary purpose, of course, is to give the readers a deeper understanding of Aragorn's character and his whole role within the story and his eventual evolution as a character, his development. He begins this tale as a wandering ranger. He's met with scorn and suspicion by many. He's just this, like, rugged guy who lives in the wilderness that nobody really knows too much about, but everyone's kind of, like, a little bit nervous about him. But then throughout the story, he kind of embraces his role as the future king of Gondor, and then we see in The Return of the King when he finally, like, comes into his kingship, his kingdom, I don't know. Stepping out of Middle-earth and into what Tolkien referred to as the greatest fairy story, which is the Gospel, I think we can see a lot of similarities between Aragorn's character within this poem and our Lord Jesus Christ. "Not all those who wander are lost" calls to mind an image of Christ wandering in the desert for 40 days. And also, like, the whole idea of how Christ was kind of just, like, going from place to place during his ministry, and he didn't really have anywhere to call his own. "The crownless again shall be king" is reminiscent of Christ's willingness to live a life of obscurity and sacrifice, the very King of Kings receiving nothing but a crown of thorns as he was mocked and beaten. I love so much that there isn't really one specific Christ figure within The Lord of the Rings, because as we know, it wasn't meant to be an allegory, and there wasn't really meant to be one character that you could just look at and be like, yep, that's Jesus. And so, like, obviously Aragorn's whole story doesn't line up perfectly with Christ, and it wasn't meant to. There are several characters throughout The Lord of the Rings that live these lives of sacrifice and love and can help us understand Christ maybe in a different or new light, maybe in just like a way that we hadn't before. In The Philosophy of Tolkien, which is one of my favorite books, Peter Kreeft writes, "There is no one complete, concrete, visible Christ figure in The Lord of the Rings. He is more clearly present in Gandalf, Frodo, and Aragorn, the three Christ figures. They exemplify the Old Testament threefold messianic symbol of prophet, which is Gandalf, priest, which is Frodo, and king, Aragorn." In Philip Ryken's The Messiah Comes to Middle-earth, which is another book I would recommend picking up if you're interested in this idea, because he basically spends his whole book expanding on that Peter Kreeft quote. So Philip Ryken writes, "If Gandalf, Frodo, and Aragorn remind us in various ways of Jesus Christ, it is not because the novelist had this explicitly in mind. It is rather because a biblical worldview so thoroughly penetrated his imagination that inevitably it pervaded his literary art." So like I said a second ago, if you're interested in reading more about these parallels and applicabilities between these characters and Christ, I would highly recommend picking up both of these books, The Philosophy of Tolkien by Peter Kreeft and The Messiah Comes to Middle-earth by Philip Ryken. Those are just, I think they're great resources. There's also quite a bit that we can draw out of this poem and sort of carry into our own daily lives. First of all, I just wanted to like talk about this for a minute because it's another thing that drives me crazy. So we see the whole "not all those who wander are lost" and we see it misquoted all the time. But not only do they take the word out of the quote, so the quote's wrong in the first place, but then they put it all over these things that are like advocating for like doing drugs and living out in the forest. And like, this just drives me crazy because that while Aragorn was like out wandering, he wasn't just living this like wild and free life while he was wandering. He was wandering for the sake of, as a ranger, he's like out protecting people, you know? And so that just drives me crazy. And I just had to say it because this is my podcast and I'm the boss. So just looking at the poem itself, just as a poem and drawing maybe a couple lessons for our own lives, I would think, here's just a couple. So the whole idea, "all that is gold does not glitter," what that means to me is that not everything that has value or worth is going to look shiny and exciting. Like Aragorn and Christ, they don't come around looking like kings. And so that's just kind of like a simple reminder that not everything that has value is going to look shiny and glittery. "Not all those who wander are lost." Not everyone is going to have like a very linear life progression. Like, everyone is, I don't like to use the phrase like a journey, but I mean, at the same time, that's really what life is. And for everyone, it's going to look different. And so just because you see someone who's kind of off in a weird way, or maybe they're not following the same path that you're taking with your life, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're lost. And we should always continue reaching out to people, praying for them, and all that stuff, you know. The old that is strong does not wither. Deep roots are not reached by the frost. These two lines, initially when I first read them, it makes me think of like church tradition and church history, because you see it all around, like new trends and things such as that. Like, they don't really last very long, but then you have just like the beauty and the magisterium of the church that has stood as such a strong foundation for so many generations. I don't know if Tolkien was really thinking of the church when he wrote this, but I wouldn't say he definitely wasn't thinking of it. I don't know. From the ashes a fire shall be woken, a light from the shadows shall spring. When I first read ashes, it makes me think of Ash Wednesday and the whole like resurrection, you know, just like all of it. It just reminds me of that in a way, as well as the whole idea of like light coming from darkness. Renewed shall be blade that was broken. This line is pretty specifically about Aragorn's sword, but at the same time, I can see it as something that also reminds me of Christ's resurrection. And then we finish off the poem with "the crownless again shall be king," which we already talked about a little bit. And so these are just kind of like my personal ideas. I'm not quite sure if Tolkien was really intending this poem to be understood in this way, or to draw these kind of conclusions, but I think this poem can be very encouraging and inspiring if you kind of take it out of this context of Middle Earth and look at it within your own life. It's just a reminder of the worth and the beauty within life, and the way that things aren't always how they seem. I know that's kind of cliche, but just, and then there's also the idea of hope coming from darkness, and there's a lot of redemption in this poem. So I hope you guys enjoyed this week's episode. I am super excited for next week's episode as well. We will be talking about another one of the quotes that I actually mentioned in our Tolkien Reading Day bonus extravaganza, and it's something to do with Samwise Gamgee, but I won't spoil the surprise. I'm super thankful that you listened to this podcast today. I hope you have a really wonderful Tuesday or whatever day it is that you're listening to this. If you did enjoy this episode and you want to hear more, I would invite you to subscribe on whatever podcast player you're listening to right now. And if you wouldn't mind, perhaps leaving us a review, or if you would just want to like send me a note if you have any thoughts, or if you just want to chat, I'm always around on Twitter at Tea with Tolkien, or Instagram, or Facebook, or Discord, which I'm still pretty new at. It's pretty nice. I like it a lot so far. It seems like a good place for discussion. And I guess that's it. Thank you guys so much again. Oh yes, and if you want to support us on Patreon, you're always welcome to do that. I super appreciate everyone who does that. It's just patreon.com/teawithtolkien. So I will talk to you all next week.